Prepare yourself for a physical therapy conference that will deliver a PT education hangover of epic proportions. Because we're going to Las Vegas.
Las Vegas!
This October, PT Pintcast presents the Tri-State Physical Therapy Conference, October 11th to the 13th in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
3 days of learning, networking, and, well, probably some good old-fashioned Las Vegas-style fun. With presentations by APTA President Sharon Dunn, State Chapter Presidents Chris Powers of California, John Hike of Arizona, and RJ Williams from Nevada. With your keynote presentation by Tim Flynn, focus talks on telehealth, medical marijuana, and motivational interviewing. Okay, just so we're clear, that's three different talks. We're not mixing medical marijuana with telehealth and motivational interviewing. Well, not yet, anyway. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at ptpintcast.com. Want to win your way in? Enter to win free tickets at ptpintcast.com. The Tri-State Physical Therapy Conference, October 11th to the 13th. What happens in Vegas? Well, you know how this ends. Want to thank Brooks IHL, that's Brooks Rehabilitation Institute of Higher Learning, offering residencies, fellowship education, orthopedics, women's health, geriatrics, neurologic PT, pediatrics, sports. That's an overview of their residencies. Check out what they have to offer at brooksihl.org. World-class educational opportunities to the local and regional community. Check them out, brooksihl.org. We took a flight down to Florida to hang out with our friends at Brooks IHL. That's the Brooks Rehabilitation Institute of Higher Learning. They're a supporter of our show. Residency and fellowship education. Post your DPT. They've got residencies and fellowships in a lot of different areas of practice. Orthopedics, women's health, geriatrics, neuropediatrics, sports, neuro-occupational therapy fellowships as well. They got it covered. Check them out online at brooksihl.org. Invited down to their fourth annual scholarly symposium to do some interviews and do a little speaking. In this episode, we get to talk to Jackie Osborne. She is one of the instructors in the geriatrics residency program at Brooks. Get into some cool topics with Jackie, including getting really granular in terms of what words we should or shouldn't use when talking with older adults. And she has a passion for documentation? She explains why and why you should too. Episode is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs looking for certification and personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it in your clinical practice. Check out Johnny and his team online at owensrecoveryscience.com.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world.
It is.
This is the PT Pintcast.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
In Jacksonville, Florida is where we are. This is the setup. It is the fourth annual Brooks IHL, that is the Brooks Rehabilitation Institute of Higher Learning, their scholarly symposium. I have no idea why they invited me, because I am the furthest thing from scholarly. Got a chance to hang with PTs, and when PTs get together, we talk about PT stuff. Had an opportunity to kind of re-give my Oxford debate conversation on social media. We'll talk more about that. But right now, colleague and new friend, Jackie Osborne, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
What's your story? What's your background before meeting me right now, which is obviously a career highlight, obviously.
Maybe in a nutshell, I became a geriatric clinical specialist because my first job was in Tampa, Florida. So that wasn't something I planned. I was going to be a certified hand therapist. That was like my desire, like the beginning of school. So then I graduated. My parents had moved to Tampa and they said, oh, I thought you're going to come down here with us. I was in Philadelphia at Beaver College at the time. And I was like, oh, no, I'm going to stay up here. My professional connections are up here. My grandparents are up here. And then fast forward, I worked at the University of South Florida for about 7 years.
I love those twists because I remember professors telling us in the room when we were still PT students, and of course we don't really listen to our professors when they were telling us something that we know in our bones, and you knew you were going to be a hand therapist, and then boom, life happened and geriatrics.
Yeah, so when I arrived at USF, I was asked to be the therapist for a movement disorder clinician who wanted somewhere to send his patients with Parkinson's disease. And at that time, the physician was very, hey, I want prevention. At that time, it was like, what?
that's still, it's like that.
That's not how we do this, yeah. You know? So I had a really nice opportunity to shadow him in his clinic, see how he made his diagnoses, what kind of things can we be doing that we know, or at that time was really starting to become more common knowledge. What can we do? What is the healing power of exercise? I was able to like do that in 2004, 2005, and 2006, you know? And so around that time, I was deciding, do I want to go like a specialized neuro route? Because my other like hidden passion that I didn't know about was geriatrics. And so at that time I decided, all right, I'm going to learn everything I can about geriatrics and never look back.
What do you do now? What's your role in a nutshell here?
So here at Brooks, I'm the coordinator of the geriatric residency program. That's been pretty awesome. I have a pretty good gig here at Brooks. Most of the time I mentor my residents. I have three. Each cohort is about three residents.
Good ratio.
It's lovely. On a weekly basis, I get to mentor them in acute care, in home health, in skilled nursing, and in outpatient. It's pretty great.
Yeah. Ageism. Got to throw that out. Hashtag ageism. Okay. Something that we talk about frequently when working with older adults or anybody working with older adults. My other role when I'm not carrying this microphone is working with Fox Rehabilitation. And, you know, the motivating factor behind Dr. Fox launching that practice was to eradicate ageism. I just want to throw that term at you and then see what comes out.
Ageism is a giant problem, and I don't think that we as a collective society understand our contribution to it.
I love how you say that.
Yeah, I certainly contribute to it. I think that one of the small things that my residents and I spoke of not that long ago is if you're conducting an interview with an older adult, don't ask them, do they still ...
Just that word still.
Do you still drive? Do you still put on your own shoes? Do you still, you know, it's like slap in the face kind of. Something has changed for me and it's never going to go back the way it was.
Or that you're expecting that this will end soon.
So to have that conversation and to bring that clinician at that level of practice to be like, oh no, like I'm feeding into this. Like, you know, if you ask them, hey, are you ageist? They'd be like, no, of course not. You know, and then you point out some of the little subtle things that happen. Like, do you still drive? Do you still whatever you do? That at that level, I feel like if I can just get that message out as many times as possible, I'm hopeful to make an impact somehow.
Make the change.
Yeah, and I feel like it, with ageism, it needs to be little steps like that. You can go into Walgreens and look at the Hallmark cards, and it's all over the place. Some of it we laugh at, but it's ageism.
Over the hill at 30 or 40 on the birthday cake.
One of the times where it really like hit me, where ageism was like, oh no, this is happening right here. I had an opportunity to go to a strategic planning meeting for the FPTA, and one of the directors of one of the board of directors is getting up, giving his report, and he had to go back and forth between like his laptop that he was presenting from and the larger projector, right? So he kept taking on and off his glasses, and he apologized for it. You know, he's like, oh, my old eyes or whatever. And it struck me then, like, why isn't he perceived as like the wise person who has had 25 plus years of experience doing what he does, but instead he feels the need to apologize because he can't see far and he can see close, you know? Like, one of the things you asked me was like, I want to be that person who is like the 100-year-old person who still does whatever it is, but who is, I hope by the time I'm 103, it's not a big deal.
Right.
You know,
and you've got to make that change now.
Right. I want that to be like typical. I don't want it to be like headline news, 103-year-old celebrates birthday at assisted living facility down the street.
I think social media shares those things and celebrates it. It's just the little words like still or 103 years young. Even that to me kind of rubs me the wrong way now looking at it through an ageism filter.
I think you're right. And I think that while most of us, and I include myself in this, don't have any malintent.
Right. No, I never. Yeah, it's just subtle.
It's very subtle. And it's like, oh no, the message collectively is a negative one.
Yeah, you've just got to pay attention to your words and why you're using them. Why are you saying that?
Stand by.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back to the PT Pinecast.
Love that insight from Jackie. We've got more coming up from Jackie after this break about how she gets, well, actually excited about documentation. Take a listen. Right now, I want to thank our sponsors for helping us get around the country because that's what they do. They help PTs find jobs all over the U.S. That's Aureus Medical Staffing. You hear us talk about them on the show. It's because they're the leaders in travel PT. Find out more about Aureus and how they can help you do what you want to do, which is be a PT or a PTA, where you want to do it, anywhere in the 50 U.S. states. AUREUSmedical.com is their website. Find out where they have positions. Again, it's AUREUSmedical.com. Back to talking with Jackie live at the Brooks IHL 4th Annual Scholarly Symposium. And want to thank Arias for coming on board and helping to support our newest podcast launch. That's NPTE StudyCast. Short, to-the-point episodes for PT students taking the NPTE exam. Arias, a sponsor of that, and actually helping give away some free downloadable flashcards. If you'd like to have some of that information again for free, check out ariusmedical.com/NPTE StudyCast. That's AUREUSmedical.com/NPTE StudyCast.
And we're back. Let's get back to the show.
We're gonna get into documentation. You got like a passion about document. Who's passionate about documentation?
I'm passionate about documentation until you are asked under oath if you did what you said you did. And so I had this experience, and at the time I thought it was an unfortunate one, but it really shaped the idea of clinical reasoning and how we infiltrate that within anything we do, except it has a place in documentation also. And so early on in my career, I had a patient who was defined as a malingerer. And I was called in as an expert witness to attest to her character and what did we try and what did we do. And I remember being asked by the prosecuting attorney if I had the credentials, doctor, can we call you doctor? You know, I had my DPT, but the approach that they took was like trying to intimidate.
Shoot you down and write.
I see that you wrote here that you did, you know, 8 minutes. Who does 8 minutes of exercise, you know? Well, it turns out that this was the way this goes. And here's what I wrote and here's why I wrote it. And afterwards is when I really lost it. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that something I wrote 2 years ago, I was going to be asked to talk about and defend why I wrote it. So while I don't think that you should approach every patient situation as if you're going to have to defend it in court, you should be able to say, why are you doing this? Why are my skilled services necessary? One of my pet peeves is to hear someone say, we have to document this way for this payer and this way for this payer and this way for this payer. Because I really do believe that if we have done a good job at showing our clinical reasoning from history to clinical impression and reassessment and transition of care, then the why is in there. It shouldn't be hard to find. It doesn't need any different set of creative words or sentence structures or anything. It's in there. Yeah. So I didn't know it, but I do have a passion for that, turns out.
Well, there's a reason, right? I mean, hopefully you don't have to have that called into question, but if you do, make sure your reasoning's there and then you're going to be okay.
And I think maybe that's why one of the reasons I like residency education so much is because it's so much of the why are you doing that, and one of the things that we talk about in our orientation to the program to being a resident is you do have to handle the constructive feedback and to be able to receive it and give it and understand that it's not a personal attack on you. It's helping you dig out of the archives what you've learned and why you're choosing to apply it now. So I feel like you can apply that to any skill. And that includes documentation.
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Rock Tape. They're more than just a tape company. They're a movement company. Rock Tape helps athletes of every level go stronger, longer with the best kinesiology tape, cutting edge education, and fitness support products. Rock Tape wants people to move more and move better. Find them online at rocktape.com/medical.
Last thing we do on the show is called our Parting Shot. Gives you an opportunity to kind of leave one sentiment. It's kind of like, you know, especially educators, I feel, they always apologize for it. All right, I'm going to get on my soapbox here for a minute. And what's the one thing you typically have on your soapbox that you always want to leave with students that you work with or colleagues that you want to leave with the audience today? What's your parting shot?
You know, this is a good question. I think one of the things that I have really, really been thankful for are my mentors who have facilitated, I almost said forced, but I don't mean it that way because it's not negative, facilitated my involvement in the profession, whether it be at the local level, state level, the national level. I can't tell you how many friends that I've made and good connections I've made just because I went to a meeting or I answered an email. Don't know what the time commitment is. I don't know what this means, but that's how it started. And now I can't imagine not being involved in some way. You know, I had to take a break a little bit to, you know, have your family and do life, other life events. But one of the things that my husband and I talk about, who's also a PT, you know, what are we going to do when we retire? like, cool, we have more time to do like APTA things. You know, like, I don't think we're going to retire. PT is a part of me and my makeup, you know? And so my whole point is that I don't know if I would have had that in me innately as a new grad or as a new clinician, unless someone facilitated that in me. So I think that's an important thing to keep in the back of your mind as a newer clinician or a resident who just had like an intensive year of learning, and then you think, okay, I'm going to take a break for an undisclosed period of time. Maybe you have a limit on what that is, or the way back into your non-break time is to get involved.
Good advice. Jackie Osborne, appreciate you taking some time out here at Brooks.
Our home on the internet. PTPintcast.com. Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
From the makers of this podcast comes a brand new show. It's called NPTE StudyCast. If you're studying for the NPTE, this is the show you need to listen to,
period.
Short, sweet, and to-the-point episodes from board-certified clinical specialists and physical therapy professors on all the topics you need to know to take the NPTE. NPTE StudyCast, available now on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and more.
NPTE StudyCast,
the number one NPTE podcast
in the world.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.